So this weekend, the church celebrates what we call Gaudete Sunday. Gaudete comes from the first word from the old Mass. We still use it, but it's originally from the old Latin Mass for rejoice. It's the first word of the entrance antiphon that you said tonight. So this is Rejoice Sunday, and you'll see that the word rejoice gets used a lot in the readings, and the word joy also gets used a lot in the readings. 1 week out from Christmas, it can be a little bit wearisome to be able to rejoice or to find joy when we realise that we have got a lot to do, or we just don't have the energy to do it, perhaps. It may depend on what's going on in our life. It might even depend on the weather, what's happening with you and what's happening in the world. But sometimes it is not all that easy to rejoice. The church used to celebrate Advent over a 50-day period, and like Lent. And then at about the halfway mark, the church in her liturgy lightened things up a little bit. And so in Lent we have about the halfway mark what we call Laetare Sunday, which also means rejoice or be happy. And it's at that time, as the same with Gaudete Sunday, we take a break from the austerity of what we call the penitential season. This is the season for reflecting deeply on our lives. So we have a little bit of a break, and to symbolically help lift spirits, the church even changes the colour within her liturgy. So there's a little bit of history there, where we're at in the Advent journey, but there are some things that remain absolutely unchangeable. We don't have 50 days of Advent anymore, but there are things that remain absolutely unchangeable. And so we still talk about Rejoice Sunday or Gaudete Sunday. But as I began to say, it may be difficult for some of us to do that. I mentioned a few years ago in this church that there is a magazine, it's a journal actually, called the Journal of Happiness. And it's published in the United States, but it has quite good research in it. And they put together from their research, what are the things that make people happy? What is it that makes people happy? And then what is the impact of that happiness on the individual? So what is it? And how does it affect us? The question that they pose at this time of the year is, what for you makes Christmas merry? When we say Merry Christmas, what is it for you that actually makes it merry? Now, I can't answer that question for you, but they came up with seven primary responses. Of course, there were many others. But these are those responses, what makes Christmas merry, from their research. The first is time with family. Second was being involved in the religious activities. Third was maintaining traditions. By that they would mean things like collectively getting together and, say, dressing the Christmas tree, or looking for the elf on the shelf, Alexander. He's there. The traditions that each family has. And one of the beauties of this parish is that we have so many wonderful cultures, and each culture has its own tradition as well. And participating in those cultural traditions is number three on the list of happiness or merriness. Number four is spending money on gifts for others. And then, of course, the next one, obviously, is receiving gifts. And then number six was helping other people. And then number seven is what I would call the sensual aspects of happiness at this time of the year. So they're things that affect our five senses. So you'd go to things like eating and drinking, and perhaps cooking and doing the whole outside activities. And I think also I would put in there just having a break from the work routine, what we would call the holiday spirit, that would be up there. So they're the seven that they've come up with from their research. However, there are two of those seven that are outstanding. What makes Christmas merry? These are the two that came in as the highest priority from their research. And the first was, I say again, spending time with family, and the second one was religious activities, participating in religious activities. Now, I do admit that the research was done in America, so I suspect that participating in religious activities for an Australian, not you, but for other Australians, religious activities would be quite a bit down the list. And I suspect that time with family, and I'll put in their family and friends, would probably still remain number one, but I think Australians might move the sensual order up the ladder a little bit to time away from work, spending time perhaps with family and friends at the beaches and barbecues, so the sensual side of things. And that's neither good nor bad. But when we look at this time of the year in the light of what the liturgy leads us into, we ask ourselves, what does make me happy? What does make me rejoice? What does make my Christmas merry? For some of us, finding that answer is a real struggle. It's not a time of happiness. It is interesting also to note that from research, this is the time that the suicide rate takes a peak, unfortunately, which is a horrendous statistic, but it's a reality. Christmas is, for many people, a very stressful time, not just because of the other five things I mentioned there. That stress, as you know, may well come from within your family. It may well come from the religious traditions that you participate in. That might be the stressor for you. I think most families have situations and issues at Christmas. I think that would be pretty normal. You know, the mad drunk aunt who lives upstairs and she comes out once a year or whatever. Every family's got something going on. What did I say here once before? There's only two kinds of families. There's the dysfunctional and the very dysfunctional. And I think at Christmas it probably gets a little bit heightened there. So when we ask ourselves what makes Christmas merry, at least be aware of the things that take our merriness away, or do I participate in taking the merriness, the happiness, the rejoicing away for other people? And I'm not talking about being the Christmas Grinch. I'm talking about the essence of Christmas is actually our focus on the birth of Jesus Christ, the Saviour of the world, my Saviour and your Saviour. If that does not feature in your search for merriness at Christmas, then you have slipped down the ladder, or I have slipped down the ladder, into the areas of materialism, I would say, those other five areas that I mentioned, further away from the religious significance and away from the family significance. So if we can get our priorities right, we probably would find that we have a much merrier Christmas. We actually, and the research tells us this, that we actually don't need, nor do we crave, all those material things. That they are not the things that we crave. We do get marketed with them, and certainly they bring with them a certain amount of pleasure in our life, but that is usually got a barcode on it that has a use-by date. So if I asked you right here and now, what is the one thing in your life that would bring you to your knees, the one thing that you could not live without, what would that be? The one thing that, if that was taken away from you, it would probably very nearly break you. When you start to ask that question at this time of the year, we start to, dig a little deeper into what is the purpose of my life at this time? What is my life with Christmas and what is Christmas with my life? What is Christmas in my life? What is Jesus doing in my life? Do I even recognise that? Is there in my life a John the Baptist or a Jane the Baptist who points me to Jesus? Am I that person, perhaps, for others? I'd love to be, but I get so distracted sometimes with the other five things on that list of happiness. 25 years ago, 30 years ago, I never had a mobile phone. But if I lost my mobile phone today, that would probably be something that would cause me a lot of grief. I'm not saying it would break me, but that's how dependent my life is in one sense, on all of my contacts, my data, all of the information I've got stored there, and it's all about people. If I lost that, I would not be very merry at Christmas. And if that's ever happened to you, I've lost my wallet, I've lost my credit card, I've had it stolen over the years, and that caused me grief. But to lose the contact with those people, that would cause me a lot of grief. And if I found my phone, it would probably be, I would be so thankful. And I would probably hold it here, okay, because I've restored my life. And I'll just give you that little example because we are, at this time, really examining what is important in my life. What is it that I don't really need? What is it that makes me merry? What is it that takes my merriness away, if that's a word? I can't answer that for you. I change my answer every time for myself. But at this time in Christmas, I would just encourage all of us to make sure that we get our priorities right. It's so important, because you may then become John or Jane the Baptist for somebody else that brings the light of Christ into their life and actually gives meaning to their life. When we talk about what is the meaning of our life at this time of the year, we point towards Jesus. In my view, Jesus is both the answer and the question. I think the two come together when I contemplate what is the real meaning and purpose of my life, reflecting in the Christmas spirit. The other tool that might help you at this time is take that second reading again from St. Paul. That is the entire spirituality of St. Paul in that letter to the Thessalonians. It's the first letter he wrote there, and it's the closing chapters of it. It is so important. Be happy at all times. Pray constantly. And for all things, give thanks. All times, he says, pray constantly. So God is never backing away. We do. This is a relationship that we either put into, we invest in, or we don't. But know this, God is present in both the joys and in the sorrows, in the merry and the not so merry. God is present. We are the ones that determine whether we recognise that his presence or not. Pray constantly. And the prayer I would give you this Christmas is the very famous and the very simple, what we call Jesus' prayer. Keep it on your lips at all times and make it a part of your breathing. When you breathe in, simply say Jesus Christ. When you breathe out, simply say, have mercy on me. It's not complicated. Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. See if you can get 10,000 of those prayers up as opposed to 10,000 steps this Christmas.